Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We just lead the way, and as leaders of men, as the leaders of an entire industry, you might say, the broadcast industry, the talk radio, the spoken word format, as the true Beau Brummels, the true rebels that we are, we know that people are out there tonight following us, and then tomorrow they'll say that they don't know us as we're out there looking for change to do our laundry.
Exactly.
But that's fine, because we know what our lot in life is. Ours is to do or die. Anyway, welcome to the program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Interesting things in the news today. One, a story that visits us from some 30 years in the past, and that is the death of actress Natalie Wood. She was a very big name in her day. Today, of course, she's known to film aficionados, to members of my generation, and perhaps some people younger. But to many of you who are much, much younger, you just know the name from perhaps a movie or two that you've seen of hers. She was the star of West Side Story. She was, of course, the love interest of James Dean and Rebel Without a Cause. She's been in a lot of movies, Splendor in the Grass with Warren Beatty, and was, at the time of her death, starring with Christopher Walken, in a film, the name of which escapes me, but what is that?
There was that flatline or something like that.
Yeah, like a sci-fi.
Well, we'll have to figure out what that was exactly. But we're going to talk about her, and we're also going to be discussing this evening the Occupy situation. We have Pastor David Castorini on the line with us, who is attending a number of different, I think, youth pastoral meetings of some kind. We're going to get him on the line right now in his car, somewhere between, I think you said, Omaha and the Quad Cities. Pastor, how are you?
Very good, Phil. And wonderful to be with you here this evening. And we are indeed traveling very late at night, but Jimmy's our driver, and he's keeping his eye on the road, and we're happy to be on the program with you.
Let's talk a little bit here, Pastor, about the Occupy movement and is that what you're doing on the show? Forgive me.
Well, I did. I wanted to talk to you about that, yes. And I also wanted to talk to you about some of the features of our ministry that I think will appeal to people, younger people, who find themselves lost in this world of the 99%, if you want to call it that, or the lost in this world of deprivation and of, for some people, even failure, lost in a world of perceived failure. I don't think people are lost in any failure. I think it's just the fact that they're lost and they need to find Jesus. And that's what our ministry is about. So, yes, absolutely, I want to talk about the Occupy movement. I also want to talk about what I've done in my life to overcome things that I need to overcome to better serve people.
So the Occupy movement, which you may or may not know, was subjected in cities across the United States to a number of police raids. There were a lot of police action.
Yes, I did read about that, Phil.
Okay, and they were arresting some 200 people in New York. I think they got 70 people arrested here in Los Angeles. What is your message to young people who are frustrated with the economics of this country, frustrated with the class barriers as they see them, frustrated with their own inability to get ahead, to create a career, to have the material wealth, the material self-sufficiency that they see their parents or perhaps even their older brothers and sisters having? What do you say to them?
Well, you know, Phil, that everything I say is rooted in the gospel. And so we start there, but we move on, and we begin to attack what is the primary problem, I think, with today's youth. They think that when they hear from a member of the religious ministries, an individual like myself, they think they are listening to a hypocrite. They think they are listening to someone who doesn't hear their pain. They think they're listening to someone who is not living the life, you know, not walking the walk. Talking the talk, but not walking the walk. And so I immediately talk to them, and I tell them that I am the most singularly honest individual that you are ever going to meet. I believe, Phil, the single most honest purveyor, the single most honest messenger of God's word that has ever existed, certainly I think in the last 100 years. And that's not to call attention to myself as something greater than Jesus Christ himself, I would never, or even greater than any other man. But right now, our young people are hungering for honesty.
And so you are saying you are never going to find another minister, another man of the cloth, another woman of the cloth, as honest as you?
I believe that that is the case, and I believe more than anything else, that's what especially our youth are interested in. That's why we do a youth ministry, Phil. And so that means we're focused on young people and focused on their needs and the challenges that they see and the world that assaults them with seeming different messages and conflicting messages.
We're talking with Reverend David Castorini from the Castorini Youth Ministries about the Occupy movement, the number of young people involved in it, the failings of society that they see. The failing of the country, the economics, the all of the things that seem to be rolled up into this angst and anger. And I believe, as I've said on the show, that they do have a good message in saying that the people that control the money in this country have certainly lost their way leading our country. You don't have to, you know, because you have money doesn't mean that we love money, but we do see those people as people who have, you know, some leadership when it comes to creating. When it comes to creating business, when it comes to creating jobs, when it comes to creating product, when it comes to all of those things.
Well, you know, that is a consideration. I think the other consideration, I think they're angry about a lot of things. I think they're angry, for instance, about the fact that when they look at someone like me, they immediately resent me because they say, that man can't understand me, and yet he presumes that he can. You call yourself David Castorini, youth minister, and you say you're honest. Well, we don't believe you're honest. We know you're lying. We know that all of you men of the cloth, you so-called religious people, are just liars, and in a lot of ways, you're just like those Pharisees that Jesus pointed out and called out in the Bible, you know. So I challenge them.
And how do you challenge them?
Well, I give them information about myself. I say, all right, if you think I'm a liar, let me tell you something about myself. I have a personal problem right now. I said, because, again, I'm the most honest messenger of God's word, I believe, that there has been in many, many decades, Phil. And I have a personal problem. I'm a very happily married man. And for some reason, and I think many of us are this way, but as a minister, as a religious man, I really shouldn't be. But every time I see on television this young lady by the name of Chelsea Handler, I get very interested in her. I don't tell my young charges, I don't say to them that I get aroused.
Well, do you?
Well, I'm not going to go there. What I say to them is I get very interested in this woman. I find her to be attractive. I want to know her. I become distracted by her. If I'm to be honest with you, I want to have some level of physical contact with her.
Is she? But are you saying? But you're not saying you're, you know, aroused by her.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to comment. I'm telling young people to come to our ministry. You feel that religion's just been one big sham. Yes, we do. They say, and you think that religious people such as myself are liars. Yes, we do. Well, I'm here to tell you. I'm going to be honest with you. David Castorini's never going to lie to you. And when I see, for instance, Chelsea Handler, do you know who she is? Many young people say yes, they do.
She's to let people know, Chelsea Handler is a late-night talk show host on cable. She's a pretty girl. She's got a talk show. She also...
Yeah, she's a comedian, I think, Phil.
She's got a sitcom of some kind, right?
Yes, she does. And
she's quite the... She's made a number of strides in terms of her popularity.
Yes. And I say to the young people, when I see Chelsea Handler, I do get attracted to her. I'm a man of the cloth. I preach the Bible. I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you that when I see this woman, I want to know her. I want to touch her. I want to do things. I won't tell you that I'm aroused by her.
What do the kids say when you say that?
They appreciate my honesty. I say, I'm not going to tell you that I'm aroused by her or I'm not aroused by her.
And but what do you mean honesty? What do they appreciate?
They appreciate the fact that I draw the line. And I say, I'm not going to say what you want me to say, which is that I get aroused. Because you want me to say that I walk... I shouldn't put it this way, but they want me to say that I get aroused by Chelsea Handler. I won't do it. I won't do it. Because I need to keep a separation between myself, my marriage, and my ministry. I need to keep myself away from that kind of very base and lascivious conversation. But I will simply say that when I see Chelsea Handler, of all people, I get very interested, very, very interested, and I want to touch it and feel her. This is a very tough thing for the kids to understand, but once I say that to them, then they know that David Castorini is telling them the truth. And I can tell them there are more things in this world than sitting in the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Just by telling these kids you're attracted to Chelsea Handler.
Well, I'm just giving them the honest... See, Jim Baker didn't say he was attracted to that young lady. I forget, Jessica Hahn. Jimmy Swaggart didn't say he was attracted. Ted Haggard didn't say he was attracted. But David Castorini does.
David Castorini from Castorini Youth Ministries with us here on the Phil Hendry Show. And he's talking with us about his ministry. They're doing a series of revivals in the middle part of the country right now, reaching out to kids that are involved in Occupy Wall Street and making their lives more meaningful. And the first step is to be honest with them. He's talking about being so honest with them that he's telling them about some, I don't know.
Well, he's not aroused. He shouldn't say he's aroused.
No, I'm not saying he's aroused, but he's telling them about some attraction he has to Chelsea Handler. He's a married man. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Pastor David Castorini. He is with the Castorini Youth Ministries as we talk with him about Occupy Wall Street and the honesty that you bring to the ministry because you're addressing yourself to young people who are interested in Occupy Wall Street. Do you think Occupy Wall... And we're going to get to some phone calls, too, Pastor. But I want to just get clear here because even some of our callers are asking for clarification. When you talk about Occupy Wall Street... And your own weaknesses, shall we say? What's the connection there?
Well, it's a good question. The connection is simply this: I want my young people, who we talk to and who we witness to, I want them to know that they are talking to a man who is a pure messenger of God's word. I will not lie to them, and I will tell them that when I see Chelsea Handler or it can be any beautiful woman in television or movies. I said, I am very, very interested in her, and that I heard she dates black men. I'll give you an example, Phil, and these are my weaknesses. This is my weakness. I want you to know that, and this helps my ministry. I heard that Chelsea Handler only goes out with African-American men, and I will be honest with you, Phil, and your listeners, that disturbs me.
Why?
I don't know.
Are you a racist?
No, sir, I am not a racist. I have a great many black people in my congregation. I've helped a great many young black people.
And yet her dating only black, and I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, that's what I heard. And I don't think I've ever seen her on television or in the movies when they have, the photographs of the celebrities going out and doing whatever they do. I don't think I've ever seen her with a white man, and... That disturbs me. But no, I'm not a racist. I'm being honest. And this is what my young people in our ministry appreciate.
Well, I think some young people may see that as not being honest.
No. In what way?
If you say you're not a racist, but you got a problem with Chelsea Handler going out with only African Americans, they may think you're being dishonest.
Well, you can't possibly lie about that, because when you say that and then you say, but I am not a racist, I'm sharing with you the dilemma that is in my soul and in my heart. That's why I am a perfect messenger, because I am an honest messenger of God's word.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here on the Phil Henry Show. We have Gaston here. Gaston, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Pastor Castorina. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. First off, I wanted to say that I'm a 19-year-old and I'm a conservative. And
yes, sir.
The Occupy Wall Street movement makes absolutely no sense to me, because you shouldn't have to rely on the government for that. But besides that point, what does you being attracted to women in general have to do with you being a pastor?
It's not about that, really, Gaston. It's more about the honesty that I bring to my ministry when I tell my young people who come to our youth ministries, our youth revivals, might be somebody like yourself. I'll say, I want you to be confident in the fact that I'm not going to hold anything back from you. I'm not some whited sepulcher. I'm not out here talking the talk and not walking the walk. So I'm an honest man. I'll tell you, for instance, when I watch television, I see Chelsea Handler, and I'm married. I get very interested in her.
Well, yes, obviously, and so does everyone else thinking about all sorts of women. But I'm saying, what does that have to do with your ministry? You being honest about wanting to be with women is one thing, but preaching it to children and to teens, why does that need to be brought into a church setting?
I don't bring it up that much in church. I sometimes I'll deliver a homily or I'll deliver a sermon that is relevant to it.
Do you bring it up in your church what is the difference between a revival with kids? Forgive me, Pastor, I don't know, and maybe Gaston, you know. What's the difference between having a meeting and having a church service?
Well, just as you said, Phil, in one instance, we are having a revival or a we're having just a good old-fashioned meeting of our congregants. It could be in a tent. It could be for the very first time meeting people in a auditorium of some kind. It's not really one of our services. That's when I'll say, yes, sir?
You're still talking to people as a minister in all of your authority as that position. So you're still talking to people and preaching to people. And you're talking about how you're attracted to women instead of...
Actually, I'm saying I'm attracted to one woman, and I also tell them that I'm disappointed that she only dates African American men. And the first reaction I get, I have to tell you, Phil, is what you said. They say, "Well, you can't be a Christian with that kind of talk." And I said, "Yes, I am. I love my fellow man. I'm just telling you my weakness. So now you know I won't lie to you."
Well, I think what the caller is asking is, how do you integrate this message into the actual message of Christianity, which I think is Jesus Christ's sacrifice for mankind, the fact that he died on the cross, the fact that he's God, and that people, in order to go to heaven, must be saved by accepting him as their Savior. How do you integrate that into the message?
Occupy Wall Street.
Oh, well, the Occupy Wall Street was simply a device, because I know a lot of young people are distracted by Occupy Wall Street. They feel that there is an answer to the problems of life by addressing manna, and there is no answer to the problems of life by addressing the how much manna you have, how much of this material world you have. I've heard it said we should live 100% spiritual, 100% physical. So I tell them, don't address the problems of manna. Don't address these problems. Listen to me. I look at Chelsea Handler, and I want her, and I got to have it, and she's dating blacks. That bothers me. Now you know where I'm coming from.
But why does race have to do with anything, especially in this day and age?
I don't know. It's a problem that I've got.
But you're not a racist.
No, sir. Points on that.
I appreciate that very much.
All right, Gaston, thanks for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That young man is a Christian. This is another gentleman on line one. You're a Christian too, sir?
Yes, I am.
What is your name again?
My name is Josh.
Go ahead, Josh. What is your comment?
Well, my comment is, one, I do understand what the pastor is trying to say. He's trying to say that he's not a hypocrite and that all Christians are not hypocrites. I also think that we're going too much about him if we're talking about Occupy Wall Street. From a Christian standpoint, I do want to say that we as Christians...
Tell you what, hold on for me, Josh, and just hold on. Hold the line, and we'll get right back to you. Josh, we have David Castorina with us from his youth ministry about, and he's saying that he's an honest man. He's attracted to Chelsea Handler. He doesn't like her dating black men, but that's his honesty that helps him get people to his youth ministry, and we're talking about Occupy Wall Street. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
It is confusing, I know.
Yep. On the line with me is Pastor David Castorina from the Castorina Youth Ministries as we continue to talk here about his ministry, how he communicates with young people, and Occupy Wall Street. Now, Pastor, you've talked about your own personal attraction to Chelsea Handler, the fact that you don't like her going out with African Americans. Now, what is Occupy Wall Street in your mind? Other than I know you said about manna, is it good? Is it bad?
It's an opportunity. I think Occupy Wall Street is an opportunity for us to go in there and to talk to people and to say that this is your life and it's important, but I've got something more important. I've got Jesus. And Occupy Wall Street, it isn't going to matter at all once you find Jesus. And I'll tell you why you should listen to David Castorina. See, the problem I'm having, Phil, is it seems to me like a lot of people I'm talking to, they think any minister is a good minister. That's not true. I want them to find Jesus the David Castorina way. And
the David Castorina way, which is you being honest with them and saying you're attracted to Chelsea Handler. And
a number of things, yeah. But I every time I see her and I want to know her and be around her, I thought, how do I use this? How do I use this moment of temptation and the devil is standing right there? How do I use this for God's glory? I'll say to young people, I want to have, in some way, Chelsea Handler. And the fact that she's dating another black man in a long line of them makes me, I stay awake at night, bothered by that.
All right, let me get back to Josh, who was on the line here with us a moment ago. Go ahead, Josh. You were just starting out, and we had to interrupt for the break.
That's fine. I was just explaining that I do understand what Pastor Castorina is saying. He's saying that all Christians are not hypocrites, but I would like to request that he kind of not use this as an advertisement, be less so that Christ can be more. I do want to say for Christians everywhere that we as Christians do have a vested interest in this country, and we are active, and we can be active. But what we recommend to everyone is to respect the governing authority, as the Bible tells us to do so.
To a point. You don't want to respect the governing authority when they are running the country right into a hole. You don't want to all of a sudden say, you know what I mean?
Well, the Bible says we obey God.
I've got to say something about that. If they're giving money to communists and this sort of thing, see, I've got to say something.
What do you mean you got to say something?
If the government is giving money to communists, okay?
Yeah.
Well, those are godless people. They don't believe in God. If the government is allowing... Well, if the government is, for instance, Obama, I can't sit still for that. But we're getting off the point.
What do you mean you can't sit still?
We are supposed to respect the governing authority. That is what the Bible says.
If
the governing authority disagrees with God, then we obey God, because that's what the Bible says.
I'm concerned that we've got communist
authority.
I understand.
The American.
What about integration? If there's too much integration, too fast, I've got to say something about that.
too much integration. You're a few decades. Yeah, you're a few decades behind. Okay, Josh, you got to move on. Thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Leroy. Leroy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with David Castorini.
Thank you, Phil. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to make a comment about what he said was perfect. I didn't understand what he meant. Was he perfect or the message that he is giving perfect?
Well, I'm the perfect messenger because I'm honest. So I'm not hiding anything. I'm not saying, here's God's word. Meanwhile, I've got, I'm running a dice game. Here's God's word. Meanwhile, I'm dealing drugs. Here's God's word, like Ted Haggard. Meanwhile, I've got a man that I have sex with, and I smoke, and I inhale the fumes of crack of that methamphetamine. I don't do that. I'm out, right? I'd say Chelsea Handler makes me want to sweat. You see?
Well, listen,
that's unique.
I don't...
But you're not aroused by her.
No, sir.
Your personal views about that lady, that's between you and your maker. Before we get to heaven, we all got to learn how to live down here first before we can live up there. So that's something that you're going to have to work out. But when you say that you're a perfect man, the Bible states that there is no man perfect, none but the Father. That excluded Jesus himself. So,
well, that's true. But I'm not saying I'm a perfect man. I'm just saying that I can't find a better messenger of God's word than me because I don't lie. So that, yes, that does make me perfect. But I'm not saying that I'm as perfect as God, well, nor would I be as perfect as Jesus. But I do feel, of all the ministers that I've heard, and I've heard them all. I've heard Reverend Taylor. I've heard all of the ones you've heard. I've heard all the recordings. Bob Centerfield, Brad Jeffcoat, all of them. They're not a one of them holds a candle to me.
Well,
yellow?
Well, listen.
They don't hold a candle to me. Because I'll come out and tell you that I'm God's messenger. And also, on top of that, I start to sweat when I see a Chelsea Handler.
See, this thing about Chelsea Handler, I don't think, is this a message that people are taking to heart, or is it falling flat?
I think if people thought about it, they would really embrace it. But right now, the response I'm getting on your show, it's kind of lukewarm. I don't get it.
Well, maybe it's just no big thing.
No big thing that I got. Wow.
Well, what I'm saying is every man got a right to dislike or like anything. The point of it is what extent he's going to take it to and still be in the eyes of God that he is doing the right thing. Racism and prejudice, when we look back at...
I'm not a racist. I just don't like the fact she dates black guys. I don't know what that is.
Right.
Okay. You're black. You're black, sir, aren't you? See, I'm being honest with you.
Yes, I am.
If you went out with Chelsea Handler, I'd be upset.
But you're not a racist.
No.
All right. Look at Leroy. Thank you. I'm going to move on. I thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know how you can say that. I don't know how you can credibly say that.
In what sense?
It bothers you that Chelsea Handler dates black guys, but you're not a racist.
I am not a racist in the classic sense, and I am not. See, all I'm trying to do tonight, Phil, is let people know that David Castorini's out here. We're located in Phoenix, Arizona. I know that my message has been a little bit confused. We're on the road. I'm tired. I got Johnny here who's been driving, and I know a lot of people don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, you're throwing in Occupy Wall Street, the fact that Chelsea Handler is really hot.
I never said hot.
Well, it doesn't matter. That's what you mean. And the fact that Occupy Wall Street is about manna, and you shouldn't be forced to look at, be involved in manna, and yet you want to get out there and start converting all these people. It's a very, it's a wild message, and I wonder how successful you have been, communicating it. This is Amaka. Amaka, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Pastor Castorini.
Okay, thank you for having me. Pastor Castorini,
yes.
At first I wanted to comment on Occupy Wall Street and being a Christian, that Christians, we're not supposed to be focusing on what's going on in the world or relying on the government to handle our finances for us. We should be relying on God. But as I'm listening to you, and I hear you say that you're the perfect example or the perfect vessel for God to use, and I understand you're using the Chelsea Castrini thing as showing that you're
Chelsea
Houston
Handler.
And your
I wish her name was Chelsea Castrini, but it's Chelsea Handler. It ain't just married
Chelsea
to me yet. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Chelsea Hammer.
Chelsea Handler.
Hammer.
What'd
Handler.
I say?
You said Hammer.
Chelsea Hammer.
Sorry,
not
Hammer.
Mike Hammer. Mike Hammer was a writer.
Mike Hammer was a fictitious character created by Mickey Spillane. Chelsea Handler.
That's right, Phil. I'm sorry.
Okay, so Chelsea Handler. I understand you're trying to use that as saying that you're human and you're tempted like all others. But to say that, to come out and say that I'm a better pastor because I'm not doing this or because I'm not doing that. In God's eyes, sin is sin. There is no big sin. There is no little sin. And to say, for you to be talking about Chelsea Handler the way that you are, I'm not judging, Pastor, but it sounds like you're lusting after her. And Jesus says if you look on a woman to lust after her, you have committed fornication with her in your mind. So it's the same.
I don't.
Sin. But sin is sin. That's what I'm saying. Drug dealing.
But I haven't lusted after.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you from listening to you on the radio, and probably somebody else would tell you the same. It sounds
I got
to
agree.
Like.
I have to agree with the Maka. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, you're wrong. I'm just telling you, you're wrong.
Okay.
I'm compelled by her. And
when you say that you sweat over her.
Right.
I do sweat.
Well,
yes.
I just want to put it out there. That might be something you want to check between you and God. I just want to put it out there. It sounds like you're lusting after her. And then also that you have a problem with her dating black men. She's not your daughter. It should not be a problem. There's an underlying issue, Pastor, that I think you might want to look at. I'm not going to call you racist, but I'm just saying you might want to look at it. Because
I'm not racist at all.
One of the last things you said before I got on, before you took my call, is that you're not a racist in the classic sense. So there are other ways of being racist than in the classic sense. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I know what you're getting at. I think I might have misspoke when I said, when I mean the classic sense, I'm not a racist in any sense. But I thought people might think that I'm a Klansman or one of this kind of thing. I'm certainly not that. But I don't believe I'm a racist in any way.
Then why does it bother you that Chelsea Handler only dates African Americans?
I think because it means that cuts the odds down for me. And
but
I know it sounds like... Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
So you're not lusting after her?
No, I'm not.
I think at some point, you saying you don't lust after her... Nobody's going to believe it, because if all you do is think about her morning, noon, and night and sweat over her, as you said it, you are lusting after her.
No, Phil, I can't. It's the same way that I think about Jesus. Do I lust after him? No.
The same way you think about Jesus?
Yes. So,
Pastor, there is nothing wrong with you. I don't think you think about Jesus the same way that you express yourself as thinking of Chelsea Handler or Hammer, whatever her name is. But thinking about Jesus...
Her name is Chelsea
tonight,
Handler.
Hamler. Thinking about tonight, that's what you're supposed to do. Now, thinking about Chelsea Handler all the time, that, you know...
I believe this is unique. What I've done is I realize that I'm thinking of Chelsea Handler all the time. And so I incorporate Jesus into that. So when I think of her and I see her, I think, okay, Jesus, you know, you better be here, because I'm telling you right now, there she is.
Well, man.
Believe me, Phil, it works for me.
Okay, well, it sounds pretty weird to me. I don't know how to describe my feelings on that. Listen, Amaka, thank you very much for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And
what sounds weird? Because when you go to a commercial break and you're saying that I sound all weird...
What's weird is that you say that Chelsea Handler or Hamler, you don't even know her name.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, sir.
Okay. You're thinking about her morning, noon, and night, sweating over her, but you don't lust after her. Then you incorporate Jesus into that, and then you say that you're honest about it, and that's why people are going to want to follow you. And you've heard nothing but one after the other of young Christians, the very people that you want to have, telling you that they're not buying it, man.
No, they're Christians, see? And they're, by nature, Christians are argumentative and disagreeable because everybody wants to get close to God. We're all, you know, we're all fighting for the Father's attention. And I happen to have a youth ministry, so that puts me maybe one or two steps ahead of everybody, see? But I don't consider myself ahead of anyone. I come right out and say, Chelsea Handler makes me sweat and makes me lay awake at night thinking of the things that can be done. But no, I see what you're going to do, Phil. You think I'm lusting after her.
Look, before when the show started, you said that you walk sometimes. When you see her, you walk as if you've got a wooden leg.
Yes, I do.
Well, come on, man.
That is not lusting after her.
Walking like you're stiff-legged. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to come back with Pastor Castorini here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You can join us in comment. Later on, Ray Orloff is with us from the U.S. Taxpayers Republic, an organization that looks into government favors, and they think that the investigation into the death of Natalie Wood may be very wasteful indeed in terms of tax dollars. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com with live streaming video of our show every night, as well as thousands of hours of archive material you can access. Our podcast is available the next day without the commercials and all of the other interruptions. Our podcast, a three-hour podcast of the radio show, available there as well. We also have our news feed. We have a great many other features, TV appearances, radio interviews, and all the other news related to our show is there at philhendryshow.com. We have David Castorini on the line with us. We are at 877-876-PHIL. And, David, we're going to take some more phone calls here, but your message for us this evening and your youth ministry message for us this evening is that you are the best possible vehicle for God's message to young people because you're honest. And the Occupy Wall Street thing, you've heard a great many Christians here agreeing with you that it's all about manna and shouldn't concern Christians.
Phil, I would go even one step further. I would say Occupy Wall Street it's beyond the understanding, I think, of Christians. Christians, we are simple people, Phil. We believe in God. We believe in God's message. We believe in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's all there is to it. There's nothing fancy about it. And I don't understand Occupy Wall Street. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't understand what it's about at all.
Well, you know, join the club, because there's a lot of people who are very educated on politics and economics and so forth, and they don't know.
No, but even if I cared, which I don't, I don't need to care about Occupy Wall Street, and I don't care what happens to Occupy Wall Street. I don't know what they want. I don't care what they want, and I don't get it. I don't understand it. I feel a little stupid, but I know that God will. As we say in our faith, in the by and by. You know, further down the road, I will understand the by and by. But right now, I don't get it. I don't understand half of these weirdos walking around looking like a bunch of... And they look like degenerates. And my understanding from listening to you, they smell like degenerates. I want nothing to do with them.
And, well, what about, like you said, as a possible area to you know, convert people?
Well, yeah, I want to convert people. But I'm not going to go into a place ripe with typhoid to do it. And that's what it looks like I've got to do.
Well, there's no typhoid for the record, folks.
No, you're right, Phil, but I mean, it's possible.
Well, there's no typhoid for the record for people. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to Olivia. Hi, Olivia. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor David Castorini. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Hello. Attend Campbell College in Lynchburg, Virginia, and I'm a religious studies major. And I've come in contact with a lot of different people with different views. And my biggest problem tonight is the fact that I see a lot of hypocritical talk going on, because I don't see how you can say that you're pronouncing the truth
if you're going to deny.
First of all, I want to ask Medford, would you turn the volume up on the callers, please? Go ahead, ma'am.
I can't understand how you can pronounce the truth of God if you're going to not admit to your own fault of being a racist or being, you know, in the midst of lust every hour.
I think it's a very good question. I think it's a very good question, Olivia. And I thank you for that. And I do. I do thank you. Do you give me credit for saying that when I see Chelsea Handler, I got a real big problem keeping my mind on anything else? Do you give me credit for that?
I do give you credit for that, but I also think it's very hypocritical to sit there and say that you're doing it with the purpose of God in mind a lot of the time, because I don't think those two things can go hand in hand. Personally.
I am doing it with God in mind because I want you to know how honest I am. Now, you said I was about blacks. It bothers me. It would, to be honest with you, Olivia, and I haven't been totally honest, if I saw you with a black man, I'd feel sad.
So, what? And you don't call yourself a racist?
Not in the least.
And the other thing is, I'm not so sure if you've actually read the Bible.
Can I ask you a question? Do you date blacks? I mean, if you don't mind me asking, do you date a black man?
No, I do not. But to me, it doesn't matter. I don't date anyone.
Oh, thank God.
So here's the thing. Would it matter if I was dating a black woman or a woman? Or
not at all. Not at all. No, that would not bother me at all.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back here as we enter into our second hour here. The world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't and they shan't, brother. And truth is our bitch on this show. We have Ray Orloff with us in the offing in just a moment here. Ray is going to talk to us about his organization, the U.S. Taxpayer Republic. And their stand today, they went public with this, talking about cutting out waste and so on and so forth. The reopening of the investigation into Natalie Wood, they feel, is a classic example of government waste. And that is that this is an investigation into the death of a movie star, a celebrity, that only holds interest for the documentarians and academicians and historians of Hollywood land, and overall has no real validity for the rest of us. It could very well be that case, or it could be that if you look at Natalie Wood as an average American citizen, her death was suspicious. There were questions long after she died as to how she died. The official explanation that was given was one that left a lot of people cold. And there are people to this day who would like a little something more about her death. Now, maybe it is because she's a celebrity that we never did quite, that we are, I should say, more interested in it, that we won't let it go. That we need to find quote unquote closure or answers. Closure. Maybe we just have a ghoulish preoccupation with the deaths of celebrities and so forth. But this is something that has been prompted and has been instigated by the Los Angeles. Well, at least it's being pursued by Los Angeles homicide investigators, the LA Police Department. And they've reopened their investigation of Natalie Wood's death 30 years after the actress drowned in the waters off of Southern California. It was off of Catalina Island out here, about 26 miles from the nearest point of on the mainland, which would be Orange County. The renewed look at Ms. Wood's November 29th, 1981 death was prompted by new information that detectives received about the case, according to a Los Angeles County Sheriff spokesman, Steve Whitmore. Understand that this is county business. It's not L.A. city business because her death took place out in the waters of the Pacific near Avalon, which is Los Angeles County. Am I right about that, or is that Orange County?
See, me, be Orange County.
Well, these are These are LA County sheriff that are talking about this case. So, a spokesman for Wood's husband at the time of her death, Robert Wagner, said the family trusts the sheriff department will take appropriate action, but has not been contacted about the case being reopened. Now, Natalie Wood drowned after a night of partying with husband Robert Wagner and her Brainstorm co-star. What do you mean, flatliners?
I thought it was flatliners.
It was Brainstorm. Her Brainstorm co-star, Christopher Walken, on the couple's yacht anchored off of Santa Catalina Island. Her death was ruled an accident. It was determined that she had been drinking before her death. The office wrote that Wood was possibly attempting to board the dinghy and had fallen into the water, striking her face. A dinghy that had been attached to the couple's yacht, Splendor, was found in a Catalina Cove. Obviously, it had drifted away somehow after it had become loose from the yacht. Los Angeles Times reported the detectives were prompted to look at the case again after comments by the ship's captain, Dennis Davern. He was recently interviewed for a collaboration between the magazine Vanity Fair and the television series 48 Hours Mystery that focuses on Natalie Wood's death. We're talking about November the 29th, so I guess the 30-year anniversary. Boy, I tell you what, if it wasn't for these anniversaries, we wouldn't be interested in anything, would we?
Yeah, well, remember when they had Jonestown? You interviewed all that guy about Jonestown.
Yeah. Well, that was a really good interview we did with that guy that... That was the writer that was shot on the runway. And then we also interviewed the chap who wrote Columbine. You're right. It's anniversaries do seem to renew our interest in these cases. So although no one in the Wagner family has heard from the L.A. County Sheriff's Department about the matter, they fully support the efforts of the L.A. County Sheriff's Department and trust they will evaluate whether any new information relating to the death of Natalie Wood Wagner is valid and that it comes from a credible source or sources other than those simply trying to profit from the 30-year anniversary of her tragic death, said Wagner's spokesman Alan Nyrob. Wood, a three-time Oscar nominee, famous for her roles in West Side Story, Rebel Without a Cause, and other Hollywood hits, was 43 when she died. Boy, was she young, man, when she did Rebel Without a Cause.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do is, well, if she was 43 and she died, 23, 13 plus 3, she was 16.
What do you mean?
What are you asking me? What do I mean, bud? She was 16. That's what I mean. She was young, and so was Sal Mineo. Sal Mineo was a punk kid. So the only guy that was over the age of 21 in that whole set, or of the three of them, was James Dean. He was 23. Or 24, whatever.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's still...
It's a lot older than 16. Anyway, a three-time Oscar nominee... She and Wagner, star of the TV series Heart to Heart, were twice married, first in 1957 before divorcing 6 years later, and then they remarried in 1972. It's very interesting. Wood's drowning sparked tabloid speculation that foul play was involved, but Wagner and Wood's sister have dismissed any suggestion there was foul play. Lana Wood wrote in a biography on her sister, "What happened is that Natalie drank too much that night." Wagner wrote in a 2008 autobiography that he blamed himself for his wife's death. He recounted the night of Wood's disappearance, during which the couple and Walken drank at a restaurant and on the boat. Wood went to the master cabin during an argument between her husband and Walken. The last time Wagner saw his wife, she was fixing her hair at a bathroom vanity and she shut the door. Wagner wrote that despite various theories about what led Wood to the water, which she feared, it was impossible to know what happened exactly, which she feared. Let's get on here. Ray Orloff's going to join us. And Ray is, as I mentioned, with a public interest group of a taxpayers group, is going to talk with us here. Ray, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing very good, Phil, and I'm anxious to talk with you about this. I can't really solve any problems relative to the Natalie Wood drowning, but I can comment on what I think is you used the word master cabin. I think this is a masterful waste of public money and a masterful manipulation of information by the news media. And I'm very, very grateful for you to bring us on your program so we can talk to the American people about what U.S. Taxpayer Republic is all about.
Well, all right. So here is a comment that I thought was a good entree to you. And that was that Wagner wrote that despite various theories about what led Wood to the water, she feared, it was impossible to know what exactly happened. Here's something, you say this is a waste of time. She was afraid of the water.
Well, I'm going to cut to the chase with you, Mr. Henry, and tell you that I don't really care whether Natalie Wood was afraid of the water or not. I'm sorry that young woman died. at a very young age, relatively, 43. I am not a movie fan to the extent that I follow these people when they are not in front of me in a motion picture. So I can tell you that while I enjoy the usual entertainments that most Americans enjoy, I don't fixate on the lives of these individuals. And to ask me as a taxpayer to fixate on this story 30 years following the, and yes, it was tragic, the very tragic death of this young woman, to ask me to pay for this anew and to refocus my efforts on celebrity watching and the very ghoulish preoccupation the news media has in this country of following the lives and deaths of these people ad nauseum, I will not partake of. I will not let them cross that line that I've drawn in front of myself. And the U.S. taxpayer republic is fighting this through the only means we have, which is the media.
And well, through the only means that you have is the media. Can you not contact the L.A. County Coroner's Office or the investigating agency, the sheriffs, or whoever is in charge of the sheriff, the supervisors of the L.A. County, and talk to them about what you see as a massive waste of money?
We can do a lot of things, Phil. I'm not trying to be glib, but I can sew myself some felt wings, and I can put them on a green suit and call myself a leprechaun. I can do a lot of things, you know.
And, well, no, I'm not trying to be absurd here.
No, I don't think you are either.
I'm just simply saying, how are you going to fight this fight through the media? You don't want money spent investigating Natalie Wood. How are you going to fight this through the media?
I'll fight it through the media the only way I know how, and that is using the different avenues available to American citizens. Let me explain. There was a joke that was very popular at the time of Natalie Wood's death. And the joke goes like this. What is the only wood that doesn't float? And I'm sure you know the answer.
Yeah, Natalie Wood.
That's right. Now, the joke wasn't funny at the time, but I think the joke is very funny now. And I will tell that joke, and I will probably get a few people angry at me, but not near as many people would be angry with me today as would be angry with me then. And why will I repeat that joke? To show people the absurdity of this investigation into Natalie Wood and her death. So I will say again, what's the only wood that doesn't float? Natalie Wood. Is that in bad taste?
Yes, it is.
I don't think it is, Mr. Henry.
Yes, it is. It's in bad taste.
I don't think it is, Mr. Henry, because what's in bad taste is... I don't think it is, Mr. Henry. What's in bad taste is wasting the taxpayers' money, sir.
All right, I can hear you very, very well.
You can hear me, but do you hear what I'm saying? That's what's in bad taste.
I think the joke is in bad taste. I think the joke, what's the only wood that doesn't float, Natalie Wood.
What is in bad taste is reopening this case. And spending money on it.
Well, do you not want justice?
I want justice for everyone. I want justice for every man, woman, and child in the United States of America. And were it in my power, Phil, to grant Natalie Wood justice during the time of the investigation into her death, I would have gladly granted that young woman justice. But I can't do anything about it now. And in the meantime, they're going to go into an investigation of this death in 19... And why are they doing that? Because a book's coming out. Because the anniversary is coming up. So I say again, what's the only wood that doesn't float? Natalie Wood. Is it in bad taste? No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And I would ask your audience then, and I would ask the people that manage your radio show then, and I would ask the people that are producing your show then, is it in bad taste? And you'll find that you are in a minority of one. And you'll find that the people in this country and in the city of Los Angeles and L.A. County agree with me that it is not in bad taste. And you saying that it is in bad taste...
It is in bad taste, 30 years after her death.
Then you can say... Then because you have a radio show, you keep saying it's in bad taste. Don't do that, Mr. Henry. Show me the courtesy of allowing me to have an opinion that you don't disagree with every second and every step of the way. I am not doing that with you. I don't have... the power of the microphone that you have.
You've got a very strong speaking voice, Mr. Orloff, and I can hear you. I'm going to be hearing you all night. You've been yelling into the phone, okay? And
if I'm yelling into the phone, I'm trying to make a point here. Now, what's the only wood that won't float? Natalie Wood. Is it in bad taste? No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
And every time I say that, you have to use the bully pulpit against me. Your audience is witness to this.
I don't think people, to be honest with you, know what it is you're talking about.
Oh, and you do, huh?
Yes, I do, sir. I know that you don't want to spend money on a worthless investigation into the death of Natalie Wood some 30 years later. But by repeating a tasteless joke that had been used for, making the rounds back in 1981 and saying that it's not tasteless doesn't necessarily make it so. Tell me why you don't think it's tasteless.
It's not tasteless because of the elapse of time. It's not tasteless because it, quite frankly, is a very benign, but it's not tasteless more than anything, because if they're going to stick another bill into the mail slot of the taxpayer, and that bill would be the investigation of Natalie Wood's death, then we need to get something for our money, some value for our dollar.
And telling that old tasteless joke...
It is not tasteless. And I'll say it again, sir. It is not tasteless. And we are trying to get value for our dollar if they're going to reopen the Natalie Wood case. And I am imploring you not to keep harping on the fact that it's tasteless. I beg you, because the only thing that we have as taxpayers is the ability to repeat that joke, to say that joke, and get some level of satisfaction out of that.
I think it's a pretty weird and weak way to get a level of satisfaction. Boy, we are really late for a break. Hold the line. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Natalie Wood's, the investigation into her murder is reopening, and this man is against it as a representative of a taxpayers group. He says the only payback is to tell that tasteless Natalie Wood joke over and over again. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with us here is, Ray Orloff from the U.S. Taxpayers, the U.S. Taxpayers Republic. Tell me what that means, Ray.
Well, the U.S. Taxpayers Republic is an organization of taxpayers who, and it's a euphemism to mean that we have our own jurisdiction. We feel we have our own moral and ethical jurisdiction, if you will, a country or at least a familiar domain where we are resident and control our own money. We don't necessarily consider our money the province, the purview, and the property of the United States government. That's what that means. And that's why we call it that. We don't call ourselves a union, because that means that we're a part of some larger corporate entity.
Well, you're citizens of the country.
Of course we're citizens of the country. Of course we are.
All right. Then what does it mean, U.S. Taxpayers Republic?
It's just a euphemistic term to represent the fact we consider ourselves emancipated from the country insofar as our money belongs to us.
Okay.
All right, you understand. And so that means that we have the right to control our own dollars, to do with our money as we wish. There are many ways, Phil, that you and your audience can probably quote better than I the many ways the government wastes our money. This is another example. This Natalie Wood investigation, some 30 years after she has died, is a way of taking money, good money, and to satisfy the ghoulish curiosity of the press.
Well, we don't really know any of these things that you're claiming here, Ray. You're saying it's the ghoulish preoccupation of the press and the fans.
Well, yes, we do, because...
Well, no, we don't, because we've got the L.A. County homicide investigators have said that they've talked to the ship's captain.
Oh, they've talked to the ship's captain. Let me say this. They've talked to the ship's captain a multitude of times during the investigation. Now the man writes a book and they want to talk to the ship's captain again. I will say to you and to your listeners that this is a very classic example of them trying to get over on taxpayers by saying, my goodness, there's new news. Natalie Wood, in her investigation, we have new news as to how she died. We're going to investigate that. It may take a few months. It's going to cost some money. And the next thing you know, we're on the hook for millions and millions of dollars. Well, as long as they do that, we have to stand up to it.
And your way of standing up to it is to tell this Natalie Wood joke.
My way of standing up to it is to interdict or stop the flow of nonsensical communication between the investigating agency, the Los Angeles County Sheriff, and the press and the people, as if it's something important. No, it isn't. So we will insert into that an absurd communication of our own. What Wood doesn't float?
It Natalie Wood. I get it.
Don't say it before I say it, because what we're doing here, since I've been on your program, Mr. Henry, and I appreciate you having me on the program, you're not exactly allowing me to tell you how our program works. And
well, I've been trying to give you a chance.
Well, when you interrupt me telling the joke, you're interdicting that form of nonsensical information that we're trying to... I'm saying to people, what kind of Wood doesn't float?
Natalie Wood.
And you did it again, and...
All right, well, then what do you want me to do?
I'm telling the joke, and we can talk after if you want, but please don't interrupt it. What kind of Wood doesn't float? 2, 3, 4. Natalie Wood.
Okay. And you're going to go on talk shows?
We have been on talk shows. We've been on Ken and John in Los Angeles. We've been on the Steve Spear show, the Steve Spear Review show in Dallas, Texas. We have been on in Houston on KPRC, on the Michael Berry show. I've been on a lot of these shows. What kind of Wood doesn't float? 1, 2, 3. Natalie Wood.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, where our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with me here is the Ray Orloff from the United States Taxpayers Republic, as we continue discussing with him the reopening of the investigation into the death of Natalie Wood. And you might ask yourself, well, why do you have a taxpayer advocate on talking about that? Well, you might also be answering the question yourself, saying, oh, I see, it's probably about money. And welcome back, Ray.
Phil, not to interrupt you, I love what you just said there. I really not, you know, I heard what you said, it's probably about money. And, you know, you said it in a sarcastic way, and that's okay. We're used to that in the U.S. Taxpayers Republic. We encounter that all the time. We encounter that kind of stupidity. I won't say it's stupidity, but I must say, Phil, yes, it's about money. Of course it's about money. They want to open up an investigation into a woman's murder.
Well, hold on for a minute. I haven't finished yet.
They want to reopen an investigation into a woman's murder.
Well,
I have not finished yet. They want to reopen an investigation into a woman's... The reason why I'm pausing, I'm going to tell you why I'm pausing, Phil. I'm pausing to see if you do jump in, because I want to know what kind of a man I'm dealing with. Am I dealing with a man who has the normal grace and the gracious manner to allow me to say what I want to say?
Yes, I do.
I haven't finished, sir.
Hold on. No, I haven't either. Yes, I do, but you're not getting to the point, and you must get to the point.
My point is this. Natalie Wood was a famous person who died in 1981 of the month of November. and the celebrity surrounding her death and the interest from the media has caused this to be reopened to the tune of millions of dollars. It's a waste of money, and we're saying something about it. Now, I'm looking on the TV right now, and I'm looking at a great man by the name of Michael Dunn. Michael Dunn was an actor. He was what is called a little person, a little person. Michael Dunn probably was 3'11", 4', I don't know how tall he was, but a great performer, a great actor.
I know who you're talking about.
Yes. Michael Dunn is a great man, but he was a little man, a little person, what they call a little person. You don't say the other word. You don't ever say the other word. That's what our taxpayer republic is represented by, a little person standing tall. So that the Natalie Wood investigation...
All right, thank you very much, but we're getting into speech making here, and I can't do it. I want to go to a phone call here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Margaret, go ahead.
Phil, I want to ask this gentleman just a very, very simple question. Is there some reason why you seem to be hostile to this investigation other than the money? Because I knew Natalie Wood. I was very, very fortunate to have interviewed her before she died. She was a phenomenal actress, a great talent, a great artist, and someone that, yes, we did pay a great deal of attention to, and we wanted to know what happened to her. So what is the overall problem that you seem to have with closing the chapter or the book on the death of Natalie Wood?
All right, I will answer the lady's question the best way I know how. You said you interviewed her, so therefore you're a member of the media, correct?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Yes, I said I am.
Yes, okay. So you have a vested interest.
But the...
Hold on, I have not finished yet.
I won't be spoken to like that. I'm sorry.
I haven't finished yet. Hey, you're talking to my wife. What are you? I'm the husband of the lady you're talking to. Please advise the lady that Ray Orloff hasn't finished yet. Ray Orloff is talking... I don't give a damn what your name is. You're talking to the woman that I love, and he is trying to make a point. What do you mean he's trying to make a point? What do you mean he's trying to make a point? Are you gay? Are you gay? Was that a man I was talking to or a woman? I'm going to tell you something right now. I will find you. I'll get in my Jeep, which I can warm up right now, and I will find you. You'll find me in your Jeep. You'll get into your Jeep. And then what will you do? You will drive your Jeep to me? Yes, I'll drive my Jeep to you. I'll find you, and I'll beat you so bad, you're in a hospital bed for 6 months. You'll find me in your Jeep. You'll find me in your Jeep. Do you hear how that flows off of the man's tongue? This is what I mean. This is what I'm saying. These are the things that I try to import.
I think you sound as if you are absolutely out of your mind. You sound as if you have an emotional problem.
I have an emotional problem because I don't want to waste money investigating the death of Natalie Wood. Is that what you want me to say? Do you want me to sound like a sing-songy, naggy little girl? I don't want to waste money on Natalie Wood. Many of you people in the media... And I've seen you and I've read you. You have given Natalie Wood a two-syllable last name. Such has been your sycophantic attachment to Natalie Wood. I've heard you say Natalie Wood. Wood's not good enough for you. So I say to you again, what wood doesn't float?
And I am absolutely objecting to that disgusting and unfunny and ridiculous joke.
What wood doesn't float? Don't interrupt me.
No, you don't interrupt me. I am absolutely objecting to that joke, Phil.
I think the joke is over.
Don't interrupt me. Don't you interrupt me. Your name is Margaret, isn't it?
Yes, my name is Margaret, and I object to that horrible joke.
Your name is Margaret, and I hear you count down your songs. You go 1, 2, 3, Delta, Don, what's that, etc. So when I tell my joke, I'm entitled to the same timing.
I think you're out of your mind.
I have not finished talking.
In a moment, I'm going to finish you, okay?
I've not finished. What wood doesn't float? 1, 2, 3. Natalie Wood. Natalie Wood doesn't float. Natalie Wood doesn't float. We know she doesn't float. We found her not floating. And you know what happened?
She was dead.
She was dead. Give the lady a cigar.
That is no reason to mock her. She was a lovely woman, Phil. She was a wonderful artist.
Absolutely.
She would.
Oh, look, now you're talking to the host and you don't want to talk to me. The media sycophant who gave Natalie Wood a two-syllable last name, Natalie Wood.
I never called her that. You sound like you really got a mental problem.
What's your problem talking to my wife like that? I'll give you a two-syllable last name. What's your last name? My last name is a two-syllable last name. Orloff. Orloff. What's your last name? My last name is a two-syllable last name, too. Grahe. You see what they do? You see what they do, Mr. Hendry?
I've about had enough of this from you, sir. I want you to listen and not to yell. You have been yelling all the way through this interview. You have not given people...
But I have to yell!
You have not given people a chance to talk. These people have called in, and they've expressed what I think is perfectly acceptable sadness and disgust. Sadness over the reminding them of the death of Natalie Wood, and disgust at the way you're handling this.
I'm handling this the best way I know how.
Sir.
Hold on now, hold on. I'm handling this the best way I know how.
Sir.
Hold on. I'm handling this the best way I know how. 2, 3, 4. By talking directly to the people. 2, 3, 4. In your audience.
You are really mental, aren't you?
Please don't interrupt. No, ma'am, I am not mental. I want to save the people of California money in investigating a woman's death who we know doesn't float. What kind of wood doesn't float? Let's hear it again. Please don't interrupt me. Don't ever interrupt me. What kind of wood doesn't float? 2, 3, 4. Natalie Wood.
You can repeat that tasteless joke as much as you want, Mr. Orloff. It's not going to get you, in my opinion, it will not get you followers.
I don't want followers. I'm not Little Bo Peep, and I'm not the Pied Piper. I'm not followers. I'm not Jim Jones. I'm not Sun Young Moon. I don't want followers. I'm not someone on Twitter. I'm not someone on your face. You know that one? On your face?
Facebook.
Thank you. Now, the people of the state of California are not going to pay for this.
I think you have been very crude. I think you've been very rude. And, yes, just so you know, my husband would be very happy to meet you anywhere.
Give me that. I'll meet you anywhere you want. And when I get done with you, I will beat you so bad you'll first be in great pain, but then you'll be beaten so bad you'll begin to thank me for it until finally you'll want more of it. That's how painful and how bad I'm going to beat you. You call me crazy and you say that you're going to beat me so bad that I will first be in great pain, but then it'll get so bad I will begin to enjoy it and ask for more. Yes. Do you understand what we're dealing with here, Phil? A country that's going to hell in a handcart, and a woman and a man saying they want to beat me so bad that I'll begin to enjoy it. What kind of wood doesn't float?
Okay. 877-876-PHIL. If that guy thinks that insulting the name of Natalie Wood or insulting her death is going to win him converts to his cause of not paying for the reopening of the investigation, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't even know who Natalie Wood is.
I wouldn't expect you guys to know, but she's an actress who died a long time ago. 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Truth.
The Phil Hendry Show here from the Old Pacifico.
The Phil Hendry Show.
2, 3, 4.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And one story that we didn't deal with tonight at all, because there wasn't much in the way of new revelation, although it is a story that continues, and that's the Sandusky story. Now, we have this article here at ABC, Penn State scandal, mother of Sandusky's adopted son speaks out. Mother of Sandusky's adopted son speaks out. I think this is stretching it, but...
Why do you say that?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. The birth mother of Jerry Sandusky's youngest adopted child has come forward saying she believes the former Penn State coach led her son on a path of self-destruction and that she contacted authorities years ago about her son's safety. Oh, I seem to remember hearing of this woman's comments. Well, this story is new as of today, the 17th. Deborah Long told ABC News in an exclusive interview that sharing her now 33-year-old son, Matt, with Sandusky had been a nightmare after the coach became the boy's guardian via foster care in 1995. Long says that she watched as her child became enamored with the local hero and then increasingly frightened by Sandusky's behavior. It was Jerry Sandusky, you know. Any 10-year-old kid is going to be impressed by Penn State football, she said, and then it was the gifts, you know, money and clothing and whatever. It was as if Jerry owned Matthew. I don't know how credible this woman is. She gave this kid up for adoption.
What did that mean? She kid was a foster?
The kid went into foster care, man. Now, he's got a birth mother here, and I don't know, maybe she had problems. She had to give the child up for whatever reason, and perhaps it's not right for me to judge. Nonetheless, children are a responsibility. I don't give a crap what your problem is. You have a kid? You got a kid? Let's go, man. I know it's, you know, life's tough. Life's tough. You know, it's just, it's not fair. Things shouldn't happen to people the way they happen. But they do. And because it's not fair and it sucks and you wish things, that doesn't give you the right to put a person's life at risk, meaning the kid that you had. Well, I shouldn't have had the kid, and the father isn't here, and the this and the that and the something else. I don't give a damn what your problem is. You're going to have to start stepping up to the plate. Yes, you're right, it isn't fair. You're right, these guys that have children, they take off, they got to find every last one of them. Don't make them pay. I think they ought to be shot where they find them.
You're kidding. You think I'd shoot them?
Any guy that would run out on his kids and not pay for them, I don't think he deserves to live, no. You want to spend all the time, go find some deadbeat that doesn't pay for his children. He runs out on purpose. Yeah, I find that guy, drop him in a hole.
Like in Casino.
Just like in Casino, yeah. I'll dig a hole. Where's the shovel, you know?
Yeah, I live with Joe Pesci said that.
Right, well, this isn't fun and games. Matt Sandusky, now 33, is not named as one of the 10 victims in the grant. And, you know, he's a 33-year-old man. Let's hear from him, okay? But Deborah Long says that the once welcome Sandusky soon became a source of fear for her son, as she would take the boy out of school when he was 15 years old, unbeknownst to her. My son was afraid of Jerry. If Jerry said, don't talk, he didn't talk. I would sit back and watch when Jerry would show up. I don't know, man. I've got a problem with what this woman's saying, because the child, the young man in question is not a victim. He hasn't been named as a victim. He's not being, Sandusky's is not being investigated vis-a-vis the, you know, possibly abusing his own kids. This is just all of a sudden, out of the blue, the birth mother of one of his foster kids weighing in and piling on. I'm not saying the guy's a good guy, but 4 months after moving into the Sandusky home, Matt attempted suicide along with another girl who was staying in the house, according to a report in the Patriot News. After the suicide attempt, Terry L. Trude, a school-based probation officer, wrote a letter to a local judge asking that Matt's care at the Sandusky home be reviewed. The probation department has some serious concerns about the juvenile's safety and his current progress in placement with the Sandusky family. The adoption file for Matt Sandusky contains letters from Long to officials and a Center County judge expressing concern for her son. Matt Sandusky still supports Jerry after he was arrested on charges of 40 counts of sexual assault. Matt even brought his children to visit Sandusky after his November 5th arrest. But the mother of Matt's kids immediately went to court to obtain an order preventing Sandusky from being alone with her children. Now, this was something that was reported like 2 or 3 days ago.
Who's this?
This is the mother. This is basically his daughter-in-law, Sandusky's daughter-in-law. She doesn't want him around her children, his grandchildren. These are the children of Matt, his adopted son, and his wife.
Yeah, this guy Matt, this the lady said that he was trying to kill himself and everything.
That's what is in the record. When he was very young, he's now a 33-year-old man, and according to this, he has no problem with his father, his adopted father, supports him, brought the kids to see him while he was in jail. But the mother, as I said, she went to court to obtain an order preventing Sandusky from being alone with her children. Now, here's somebody that nobody's been talking about, and just what I've been reading about her is kind of a little sort of weird, is this guy Sandusky, it's his wife. You know about her?
They said thought something about his wife calling people up.
Yeah, the Jerry Sandusky's wife has called, at least in one instance, she placed a phone call to one of the alleged victims 2 weeks before this man was to go in front of the grand jury. And her message to this alleged victim was, very important, please call. And he did not call. He didn't return the call at all. He said it was out of the blue, this alleged victim who is unidentified. He said it was out of the blue. And, of course, no, I'm not going to call these people. I haven't had any contact with them for years. And she's calling him with 2 weeks ahead of the grand jury. You better watch out, lady. I don't know who you are other than this guy. He's going to suck you down the hole with him.
About jury tampering.
Thank you. Well, that's not jury tampering. That's contacting a witness. You could get it for trying to intimidate a witness. That's a big, serious crime. The other thing was that this wife of Jerry Sandusky, she called her daughter-in-law, Matt Sandusky's wife, the woman who got this restraining order, and she called her to say, hey, don't worry about it. The kids are going to be safe. Which, I mean, this is not exactly going to be very convincing or very consoling because this man is this cat has been arrested for the very crime that you are assuring her will not take place. I maybe she's right. And maybe the wife is somehow, you know, maybe she's as brainwashed as everybody else. I don't know. But, I mean, see, this woman is reaching out and doing a lot of contacting, making a lot of phone calls, and basically, acting as the social director here for Jerry Sandusky while his ass is twisting in the breeze. So that's pretty whack. In the aftermath of Sandusky's unexpected interview on Rock Center with Bob Costas on Monday night, a number of witnesses are now ready and willing to testify in court that they were sexually assaulted by the coach. Nice going with that interview, by the way. One more.
Boy, that guy, he made the biggest mistake of his life. Going to be talking on everything on a TV.
By the way, I wrote a blog for Radio Inc. For those of you who are radio aficionados or those of you who are in the industry, in the business, please watch for my blog, Bob Costas, Turd. No, I'm kidding. It's just the comments that I made the other night about Bob Costas' interview. Bob Costas is a very great guy. We'll be back. World famous. Phil Henry Show. We'll be back.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go anywhere, everywhere, places where the talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We recognize that this is primarily an entertainment medium. We recognize that this is primarily something that you use to break the boredom. We realize that this isn't some educational tool, but we do try to educate within the confines and within the context of being funny. So, thank you for listening.
Why do you do that?
I don't know. That was that guest we had last night. A couple of comments on Occupy Yo Mama. First of all, and I know that I'm probably preaching to the choir here because, and I say this with the greatest of respect, talk radio audiences, especially this time of night, run from right wing to far right wing. I shouldn't say that. But you know what I mean. I think that we have in the talk radio what's happened, and it's unfortunate. Not that I have anything against people with conservative opinions. I do not. But it is very unfortunate that the way radio stations have been programmed over the last 20 years, conservative radio has been predominant. And as a result of that, we have conservative listeners. And everybody else can just go ahead and stick it and find something else to listen to. And when along comes a guy like Phil Hendry, who's just trying to have a couple of laughs and party, there's nobody left to party with. However, having said all of that, and being a progressive and liberal thinker like I am, way to go, cops. I hope you break more heads at Occupy Wall Street. I'm not kidding either, because I don't want them to break more heads, but I'll tell you this. There have been police officers injured by these bastards, and I don't buy for 1 second that there's some unified message about Occupy Wall Street. So go pound sand, okay? Who do you think you're talking to? How stupid do you think? I know you guys are stupid. I mean, the people that are actually out there are about as stupid a bunch of people as I've ever seen in my life. They don't even know what the hell it is they're protesting, or that they don't know what they're asking for. Of course it would make me angry. It would make anybody with a third grade education, and I'm talking even a left-wing liberal, somebody like me, I'm more left to center than most people. But I got to know what it is I'm getting out there and supporting or advocating. And the Occupy Wall Street message that I thought should have been promoted was simply this: responsibility at the top when it comes to creating jobs and making money. What are you guys doing to make that money other than manipulating the dollars themselves? This is something that needed to be addressed, and it has not been addressed. What instead we have had is another nostalgia moment for Vietnam. We've got a whole generation of people that missed out on the Vietnam party, and they want a little piece of that action, man. Maybe if they're lucky, they can get a Kent State going. What do you think? I mean, they've done everything in their power to confront, they've done everything in their power to piss off cops, to try to provoke cops. I think that they would be happier than pigs in slop if they got a cop to shoot them. I mean, when that Iraq war vet got busted over the head with a nightstick in Oakland, my God, they fell all over themselves to rally around this veteran. These are people that 5-6 years ago were looking for evidence of the soldiers committing war crimes in Iraq, looking for it. How do I know? Because one woman called me. She calls me up on the phone. She didn't know who I was. Do you know where the quote came? After my 10th child, I stopped counting. After I killed my 10th child, I stopped counting. I mean, they were getting ready for a real tar and feathering. Occupy Wall Street is as best as I can tell, it's kind of like the G20 riots that have spread to the middle class. And the reason? We're in a recession. People are out of work. Money is tight. People are frightened. People are pissed. You watch, you know as well as I do, when the economy finally does right itself, when we finally do get some jobs going again in this country and we have a little bit more money flowing. And in other words, when times get better, you watch that Occupy Wall Street evaporate to nothing, man. The American worker and the American people are not interested in any quote-unquote fundamental change in the American way of doing things once their lives get better. People, a part of the Occupy Wall Street movement, they want you to think, well, your life is never going to get better because this stuff's just going to keep on happening. If you're talking about the normal cycle the normal business cycle of recession and then expansion and recession expansion, which has been going on in this country since the very beginning, that will continue unless you have something that will replace it that's better. And no, you don't. No, you don't. This guy calls last night. He says, well, it'll take a fundamental change in the way that we think. Well, okay. Now that I can buy. A fundamental change in the way we can think. You think that's going to happen? And what is that? What's that fundamental change in the way we can think? More generous? What do you think it is, bud?
Well, maybe just, like, I don't know.
Robert?
Yeah, I don't know.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, what do you mean fundamental way in a way that a man going to think?
I'm just saying, if there's going to be a fundamental change in the way people think, what the hell is that change? Are we talking about I agreed with him, by the way. I said, yeah, you're right. I think there needs to be a change in the way individuals who run companies, shareholders, you want a change in a fundamental change in the way people ought to think? The first people you want to talk to are shareholders of companies. They seem to be the ones that run the show. They seem to be the ones that call the shots. And those people, individual shareholders, they might be members of the 99% for all you know. Those people are saying, money. Money, 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 money. I want to have more money. I want to see the share price go up. I want dividends. I want profits. Do you care how we, as long as it's legal? In other words, you don't care if we have customer loyalty. You don't even care if this company exists next year. You just want to make sure you get top dollar on your investment. That's right. We got to keep our shareholders happy. How many times have you heard that? Well, those people that own shares of companies, they got one reason for existing. They've got one reason for having shares of those companies and one reason only. Where's the money, man? Show me the money. Somebody has got to step in and say, one of the ways to make money is to deliver a good product. And one of the ways to deliver a good product is to invest in that, in developing that. And one of the ways to invest is to take capital and use that capital as working capital to create a better product, to improve, for instance, the facility, to hire better workers. This costs money. Or don't you care? No, don't talk to me about spending my money. You want a fundamental change in thinking? There's where it is, folks. Right there. You need not look any further. And I'll tell you something else, too. This idea of customer loyalty, product loyalty, this is something that is gone. It's gone. Developing a customer base that will stay with you for 20 years. Developing a product over a period of time that's going to be a really quality product that people are going to come back and buy again and again and again. Are you kidding me? Does anybody even talk that way anymore? You're considered some sort of an imbecile. You're considered a functional imbecile if you talk that way. You know. The only thing that these guys talk about is the shareholder and the stock price and the this and the that. And I, for a long time, I kept talking about Detroit, and everybody stare at me because everybody has their political agenda. And some people are anti-union, and some people are anti-capitalist. So unless you are willing to engage the argument in one of those two ways, you don't belong in the, you don't get to be in the argument, because those asses, those unmitigated buttholes, those fools, they've taken over the whole argument. The anti-union, anti-capitalist asswipes have taken over that argument. And you don't get to be in it. So either you are a anti-union person, meaning the union is the reason why Detroit went south, which no, it isn't. You have to be really, I mean, lost to believe that. Or the greedy bastards at the top. And that isn't the reason. The reason is in between the incompetence of management and the disinterest of the working sector. So what you got was a lot of dumbasses that didn't know anything about maintaining the profitability of the company because they didn't know anything about product. They didn't have any idea what consumers wanted. There was no imagination. Yeah, you better believe Obama did the right thing firing that guy Wagner. People were bitching about that. Oh, but that's the smartest thing he did, firing that jackass. He's just a symptom, though, of what happened in Detroit. I don't know why I'm talking about this stuff, you know.
You get yourself all worked up in the lather and everything.
I know. It pisses me off. It just pisses me off.
Well, what pisses you off, man? The fact that people are protesting Occupy Wall Street? Or dumbass like that guy Wagner?
All of the dumbasses piss me off. All of them, man, in the boardrooms of Detroit, in the stupid clowns on the streets of New York, and everywhere in between, they all have one thing in common. They are missing the point. They are just so far off the point, it ain't even funny. They're not even close to what the point is, man.
What's the point?
I don't know. All right. Anyway, we'll be back. We'll talk a little more about this, or maybe we won't. Mormon's ad campaign may play out on the 12 campaign trail. What is the Mormon's ad campaign? Didn't somebody say that the Amish ought to step in and solve the situation with Sandusky?
Yeah, damn, be honest. There's the Amish people around there.
You Amish people, you know the Penn State area there. Why don't you step in? The Nittany Mountains area. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. On the line with me is a lady we just took a phone call from in South Central Los Angeles tonight, and she wanted to talk a little bit about what we were discussing in the first hour of the show. And what is your name, dear?
Oh, hi, Phil. This is Mavis Leonard. I'm Robert's aunt.
Oh, Robert, your aunt.
Yeah, hey, aunt, how you doing?
I'm good, Robert. I'm that you are doing a good job for Mr. Henry.
I'm doing a good job.
He's doing a great job, Mavis. Yes, he is.
Well, I tell you why I wanted to call on your show tonight. And, you know, I love to listen to you every night.
And we appreciate that.
But I heard this man in your program, and he was saying that he was a preacher, you know, and he said that he was attracted to this Chelsea Handler.
Oh, yeah, there was David Castorini.
That's right. It was David Castorini here, like a youth minister or something like that.
Yeah, he was on the program last hour.
Yeah, I'm not talking to Mr. Henry now. I don't need you to tell me all this.
I'm trying to tell you all about?
I said I'm talking to Mr. Henry now.
Hold on, Robert, okay?
Can I go to my aunt's house?
What do you want to go to your aunt's house for?
I want to change my, you know, just change my shorts.
Stay at work. You don't have to come over here change your shorts. You only got about another hour to go on the damn show. What a lazy.
I want to go on and get something to eat. I want to get one of that crumb cake.
I'm not going to give you no crumb cake. I'm not letting you in the house until you're off your job.
Okay, so he's going to stay here. Robert, just stay here. You only got a few more minutes. So, yes, we had Pastor Castorini on the show, and he was talking about this Chelsea Handler.
Yeah, he'll talk about Chelsea Handler. I looked at this woman on a television program tonight. And I know she's very famous, and I know this Chelsea Handler, she's a very famous woman, and a lot of people love her. But I can tell when I look at that woman there, there's some white women I can look at, and I know they're loaded down with venereal disease, you know. Oh, God.
And what are you saying? She's what?
I tell you now, that woman I'm looking at, white woman I'm looking at now, well, she's loaded up to the gills for the STD, all of that, you know.
You talking about STD?
Probably got, sores that are running. And
oh, God. Why would you say something like that?
I looked at that woman, I can tell. And I see that Pastor Castorini, I've heard him on your program before. And I think he is a man of God. I really do. I surely do. He get involved with that woman, she's loaded up with that. And I've got to read her. I can tell that white woman there just loaded down. She loaded down, loaded down. Always loaded down with an STD. She loaded down the STD. Well, went down to the gadget store, get myself some tea. Ain't no herbal thing I found that'll cure you of the STD. You always need in Jesus. Jesus is the way to be. But you're gonna need a whole lot of Jesus when you're loaded with the STD. And that's a song.
Yeah, Arnie, that's great, Arnie.
Yeah, it sounds good, Miss Leonard.
What is that?
That's a song that we sing. It's a spiritual song. You've never heard that song?
No, ma'am, I've never heard that song. It doesn't sound like a spiritual song to me.
That's a spiritual song I sing there. And I have to look at that Chelsea Handler on my TV right now. She looks like she's just got every kind of creepy, probably crabs, probably, you know.
Yeah, probably got that. But that's a bad thing to say.
That's not a very respectful thing to say, though, Ms. Leonard, about a young woman.
I'm trying to warn Castorini. You had the Castorini on, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I'm trying to warn him. You got a white woman on TV, loaded with the STD. Young Pierce Morgan every night. Oh, man, PCP. I had a man, 819, loaded on the STD. He said, let's go that pipe loaded on STD. Well, y'all need...
Okay, the song does not uplift my soul, if you don't mind.
Well, I'm trying to sing. I'm singing a spiritual song, and you interrupt me? Oh, man, you are living the life of sin that way. You're living the life of sin that way.
All right, well, I apologize, dear, but I can't...
You're living the life of sin.
Well, Arnie, I'm going to come with a crumb cake.
I said you keep your black ass there. You ain't coming home for no crumb cake until the show is over. You understand?
All right. Just stay here. Mavis, you know, I respect you, ma'am, but that song, I think, is just...
Well, okay. I'm sorry. I'm contrite. I feel chastised. I'll go and I'll cry now. Ass.
Your aunt, man.
I told you, you can't tell her what to do, man.
I'm not trying to tell her what to do. She called me. Coming on here and singing about the ST, that white woman looks like she's loaded to the gills with gonorrhea. Boy, that's great. What a nice thing to say.
Well, just trying to help out that Castorini.
I don't even know if he's still listening. I don't even know if that guy will ever be on the show again. Help out Castorini. Anyway, but at Chelsea, what did it say there, bud?
The Chelsea Handler got $25 million. That's $25 million more than I got.
All right. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. The Mormons' ad campaign may play out on the 2012 campaign trail after Sunday worship in recent months. Mormon bishops around the country gathered their congregations for an unusual PowerPoint presentation to unveil the church's latest strategy for overcoming what it calls a perception problem. Why do they have a perception problem? I don't understand. I've never had a problem with Mormons. I think the gay thing, hangs them up. Didn't that hang them up for a while?
Yeah, I think there was something about the gay.
I think there was a gay thing that was hanging them up, and I think that the black thing, black people were supposed to be what?
Yeah, black people are supposed to be from Cain. That part, I think, is true.
Shut up, man.
But all you do is try to piss him off. One of these days, he's going to loosen your teeth for good. Anyway, top Mormon leaders have hired two big-name advertising agencies in 2009, Ogilvy and Mather and Hall and Partners, to find out what Americans think of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Using focus groups and surveys, they found that Americans who had any opinion at all used adjectives that were downright negative, secretive, cultish, sexist, controlling, pushy, and anti-gay. And all you have to do is, go on Twitter, go on Facebook, go on any of those, and bring up, just say Mormon. All you have to do is just drop the name Mormon in there, and man, it will galvanize a conversation. And this one guy, you remember that one guy, Robert?
Oh, that guy was nuts, man. That was good you got rid of that guy.
Well, this cat was a fan of mine for about 5 seconds. Oh, wow, Phil, I really love your show, and if you ever want to know anything about Mormons, you ask me. Because I know all about them. I used to be one, and they're really bad. And I said something like, well, I don't think Mormons are bad. And he's like, oh, yeah? Now it begins to turn a little bit. You know, a minute ago, he was just the greatest fan. And now, oh, yeah, what do you mean you don't like it? I said, I've never had a problem with mine. I mean, I understand that they've got this gay thing. But, dude, I mean, every Christian church has had a problem with gay people. That ain't, what are you talking about, Mormons? Every Christian church I ever heard of has got a problem with gays. Why is that just Mormons? Baptists? Are you kidding? Methodists? Presbyterians? What else?
What about that, like, underwear?
Oh, they all wear funny underwear, if you ask me. How do I know? Because I dated a Baptist girl. All right, we'll be right back.
Was she wearing funny underwear?
I wouldn't call it funny. Anyway, our number, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, will be right back here from the El Pacifico. Don't you go away. Or you can go away if you want to go away. But not in that sense. Not in the sense of going away.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Now, remember that online at philhenryshow.com is where you can get live streaming video of our show every night. You can also listen to every show from the Phil Henry Show for free. That's right. The next day, we have a streaming version of our show. You just look under recent shows. Those are the last five shows. That's also our full video archive. We only save five. We actually only make available five videos at a time because, quite frankly, the storage, the archiving is enormous for those. But we do have selected archived shows from our video cast, which we are going to be rolling out again. However, if you do want to listen to the show, you can listen to it for free the next day. Just go to that recent show section, and you can listen for free to the streaming version of the show. If you're a Backstage Pass member, though, you can download that show, and it's available to you every day the next day for download, commercial-free. All that stuff is gone from our podcast. That's our show's podcast. So get a Backstage Pass at the Phil Hendry Show website there, a BSP, and become a part of our big, ever-growing, ever-enlarging, ever-swelling, ever-swollen, ever-engorged. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Bad, man.
I mean, you know, that bigger family. 877-876-PHIL. We have this gentleman was from last night, right, Robert?
Yeah, this guy called in last night, and he's a pretty nice guy. He said that when Margaret sang last night, you remember the guy that snapped an axle?
Oh, this is the trucker, huh? Let me...
Yeah.
Let me get the... What is this gentleman's name? Sir, are you there? You there, sir?
Yes, sir.
What is your name, sir?
Yes, sir. My name is Austin DeMarcus, sir.
And I talked to you last night?
Yes, sir. You talked to me last night.
And I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry. The situation is it has not improved for me. You know, I tried to get out of town last night. And,
get him. Pump the volume on that guy's call. Say it again.
I said the situation has got the same as last night. The lady started to sing. And I've been trying to get out of town since I've been trying to get out of town since about 5 o'clock last night. And that's when I heard that lady sing that song last night, you know.
You heard Margaret Gray.
I heard a lady singing Heaven and Hell by Black Sabbath. And it was, I've got a nervous tick that's Tourette syndrome related. It's not Tourette syndrome, but it's related.
You talk about say dirty words and everything?
What?
You say a dirty word?
No, I don't have that kind of Tourette. It's just a Tourette where I just jerk my arms, I jerk my body. If I hear something that is going to make me, it's going to harm me physically. And when I heard that lady sing, it was going to harm me physically.
What, Mark? Okay, so what you told us last night is you started to hear her sing. And when you did hear her sing, suddenly this nervous reaction took place. And have you got the tape there, bud?
I got the tape. You want to hear it from last night?
I don't know. I don't want to hear it from last night. I just told you. Jesus, do you guys listen? I said that if I have to listen to that again, I'm going to get a very nervous... No, I'm going to... God, you ass...
Yes, Phil, I'm going to sing Heaven and Hell by Ronnie James Dio and Black Sabbath. Yeah. 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 All right, here we go. 2, 3. Frank, close that door, will you please? Close the door. Oh, give me a song, you're a singer.
God, would you do that? Why? Why?
Why'd you... I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to play that song.
Yeah, sure.
Well, let me play. It did turn off.
So what happened tonight?
What happened tonight was I heard the elderly black lady call, and she sang that Jesus song. Same thing happened. I had a Tourette-style attack. When I say it was a Tourette-style attack, sir, I'm just saying that because of this nervous tic that I have, that is Tourette-related. It's not a full Tourette syndrome, you know.
You are, yeah, but people with Tourette syndrome, they all say, like, dirty words.
I know what people with Tourette syndrome do, sir. I know what they do. I don't need anybody to keep reminding me. But I don't have that kind of Tourette's.
You have a Tourette syndrome.
No, I don't have. I got a...
Style.
Yeah, style. What do you think I'm doing, wearing an evening gown?
You said you have a Tourette kind.
Let's just let me do it, okay? Every time I hear one of you guys open your mouths, it sounds like it's a cotton candy day at the retard farm.
But it's insulting.
Yeah? So what I'm trying to say to you is this. forget it. You know what?
What is going on here, man? What is going on with these phone calls, you know?
That guy doesn't want to talk.
Well, you know something? I don't blame him. A guy said, cat calls up, and he's trying to get, you know, his point across, buddy.
What did I do?
You're talking about Tourette's syndrome. He explained it five times. He didn't have Tourette's syndrome. He didn't have a classic Tourette's syndrome. He had a Tourette's-style problem.
Yeah, well, he thought you were trying to make fun of him.
Well, he's got problems. So what happened?
Guy said that he heard when he's last night, and he's driving down trying to get out of town, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, he heard Margaret sing Heaven and Hell, well, just like the way we done do it. Like this one here, you know?
Turn that off. Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway. We have two of those.
They're my Skittles.
Will you forget the Skittles?
Anyway, then a guy called tonight, same guy, right?
Yeah.
And he said he heard that other lady, she was singing. And what'd he say?
He said he jerked the wheel again, he busted the axle.
So that's two axles the guy's blown in two nights.
Yeah.
And he still ain't out of town.
No, man. This guy called us from, like, Magic Mountain both times.
Both times. This guy's trying to get out of L.A. He's got he's a trucker, right?
Yeah, he said he's on his way up to, like, Seattle, and he's going to go cross country.
Well, this guy is in big, big trouble, man. He's busted two axles on this rig, and it's not even his.
That's what he said. He don't even own the rig.
Well, I don't know what to say. I apologize, sir. We certainly don't. We didn't bring Margaret on or Mavis on to frighten you. But
if the guy calls back, you want to put him back on?
Yeah, but I just, you know, it's driving me nuts. Okay, this guy talking. Okay, if he calls back, put him back on. But I can't keep. I can't. I'm not. This is not the head shrinker. This is not talk radio head shrinker time. Guy's got Tourette syndrome. He busts an axle when he hears Mavis sing. This is, how come everybody else gets to have a sane show and I don't? All right, on the Phil Henry Show. Is that him?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah. That's what Mr. Henry said.
Will you get him on the air or not, bud?
Hold on. Okay, here he is.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You hung up on me.
I was hanging up on you because I need for you to spit the story out in less than a day, if you don't mind.
God, what an ass. Okay. I said that...
I'm sorry if that's what you think of me, sir, but that's what I got to do.
And besides, you didn't hang up on me. I hung up on myself. So you got... That's two things you got wrong.
Oh, okay. You hung up on yourself. Oh, now I understand.
Oh, I get it. So you think I'm some kind of a mental deficient. Let me tell you something. You're right about one thing. I don't own that rig. And you're right about something else. I busted two axles, one last night and one tonight. And you're right about a third thing. I'm trying to get the hell out of L.A., and I still can't get past Magic Mountain. But the reason for all of this is the lady what you had on last night, and then another lady you got on tonight. They're both singing. They can't sing. Their voices sound like a garage door going up or a dog whistle or something. You understand what I'm saying? All I'm trying, I'm a working man. And I'm trying to get a job done.
I understand that, sir.
Well, I don't think you do. You got that song on. If that guy plays that song, I'm going to turn it off!
Oh, man.
Better get rid of him.
Yeah, great. All right, so Perry's latest attack distorts Obama's... Wait a second, man. We haven't even finished with that Mormon thing. We had a very interesting Mormon thing that we were reading about. And I say Mormon thing with all due respect. I'm not trying to be glib, and I'm certainly not trying to insult or tarnish one's religion. The whole thing of it is this. It's a perception problem that the Mormon church feels is exists among the rest of us. We see Mormons, and we think they're weird asses. Now, I've never had that feeling. I understand that a lot of people do. I find this to be a feeling that is more prevalent among what I would call Main Street Protestant people. Main Street, down-the-middle Protestant people have never really had a very high tolerance for anything that strays off of that sort of Main Street view.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. I mean, I do know, but let me try to, when I say I don't know, I really what I'm saying is how do I explain this? There is a view among the Main Street, down, you know, right down the middle Christian in this country, that Catholicism and Mormonism and all these other things that have lots of ceremonial fluff and big tabernacles and guys with robes and all of this, that there is something that is less than Christian about that. It feels as if you are worshiping someone other than Jesus. In the case of Catholics, I can certainly understand how the misperception is created. A lot of Christians still think that Catholics worship the Pope. No, we don't. The Pope is like the spiritual leader of the church, but especially American Catholics couldn't care less what the Pope says. We haven't got it. We couldn't care less. We have very little interest in what the Pope's got to say. American Catholics are funny that way. And then, of course, we look at Mormons and we think that Brigham Young is somehow, you know, the big daddy, and that Jesus, he ain't no place, you know.
Yeah, they all got pictures of Brigham Young and stuff in their house.
Right, and Catholics have got pictures of Pope, too. So it looks cultish, and that's what we mean by a cult. What we mean by a cult is that you're enamored of or worshipful of or supplicant to someone other than God. Or you think the guy is God, you know.
Yeah, like they thought Jim Jones was God.
Well, Jim Jones is a great example. Suddenly he was the man, right? And, you know, there have been a number of them. So while I get it, at some point you got to be a little more responsible with how you educate yourself. And look, there's nothing wrong with these guys, this, that. Now you throw into that mix a few people who are bitter, angry, for reasons that have really nothing whatsoever to do with the religion. And the next thing you got is this cult of hate around the Mormon church. So I told you this one dude that I was talking to on Twitter. This guy's, you know, messaging me, right?
Yeah, that was the guy. You were retweeting that guy and everything.
Yeah, you got to bring it on yourself.
I wasn't bringing anything on myself. No, I wasn't.
Well, you were embarrassing that guy.
Well, look at, man, if you don't want to be embarrassed, don't go on Twitter. If you don't want people to retweet your stuff, okay? What do you mean I was embarrassing him?
Well, I mean, everything he wrote about and everything, you, like, retweeted it and was saying, yeah, you're a douchebag.
I never called a guy a douchebag, but let's just say you're right, bud. I was retweeting his stuff, and I was mad because I wanted people to see what this guy was talking about. He was full of all kinds of venom. Okay, here was an example. So, you think that a church that demands 10% of your money, do you think that, they, you know, I'm like, well, dude, you don't have to give it if you don't want to, you know, and a lot of other stuff. I never have any sympathy for people like this. And the reason is very simple, unless you're a child, in which case I you're a captive, and we must do everything in our power to free kids from some of these weird things that are happening. But I don't think Mormons are that way. But if you don't dig it, get the hell out of it. And here is finally really what I have to say about this. And I'm sure you'll be happy I'll be in it. But this is the bottom line that nobody ever talks about. You know, I'm real sorry that Scientology messed you up. I'm real sorry that Mormons screwed you over. I'm real sorry that Catholics. But you know something? That's your problem. You're the dumbass that got involved with them in the first place. You're the one that bought into their horse crap. You're looking at Phil Hendry and millions of other people out here. We didn't buy into all that Scientology bull dung. We didn't go out and join any cult. We didn't go out and, you know. So you want me to have sympathy for what? Sympathy that you were born with like a really small brain? Yeah, okay, man, I'm really sympathetic. So when you tell them that, then they come up with that's when they have to manufacture stuff like, do you know that they murder people? Oh, get out of here. You know that they're responsible for... Let me tell you something. You know, a lot of the stuff people say about Scientology, as far as I know, it may be true. I don't know. I don't care. I don't have to worry about it. You know that Scientologists, they're following people, and they get into people's faces. I haven't seen anything about Scientology. Here's the one thing that nobody can say. I've never seen Scientology go out, stick a gun to a guy's head and say, come in here and be a Scientologist. I think that maybe once you join, maybe there's some stuff that happens. It's kind of whacked out. But you know what? Be forewarned, man. And if you are so desperate in your life and so screwed up in the head that these little cults and these little chants and these little, you know, goofy-ass organizations, you know, you're just, you're running off to join, and the next thing you know, you're some, you've gotten yourself involved in something that you wish you hadn't, and I don't know what that may be. It might be something completely benign. I don't know. But people step into the dog poo, and then they want us all to gather around and start to smell of it ourselves as we pull them out. Now, if your life is in danger, if you're in some serious trouble, if minors are involved, children, I mean.
You mean like minors in a mine shaft?
You know what? I just said children, and you had to get your little joke out.
Yeah, I know, man. You said children. You didn't say children. You said children.
Bud, if children are involved, of course, you got to go in there and you got to get them out of there and you got to do what you got to do. This is the deprogramming thing you often watch. I don't buy that. But nonetheless, I mean, you got to go in. But full-grown adults, and when these people say, you know, they kill people, you know, Scientologists kill people, I haven't seen evidence of that. I haven't seen evidence of a lot of these parody things. All right, we have to take a break. We're very, very late. World famous Phil Henry Show, our final segment coming up, in which case we will then begin to destroy Scientology. No, I'm just kidding. Is that Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, looks pretty hot there, man. Looks better than Chelsea Handler loaded up with the STD.
Boy, you are a sick bastard.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, we got David Castorini has called us back. David Castorini, who is with us, Pastor Castorini. Sir, what's going on?
Phil, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you back. I wanted to ask you a question. I had, as you know, on your program, told you that I'm partial to this young lady, Chelsea Handler, and I heard what the people said.
Well, they think that you've got you are in lust.
Well, I know I'm not, but I will never convince them of that. But I was just now watching Chelsea Handler on this Piers Morgan program. I feel very resentful of this Englishman, who I don't think is a very good manifestation of manhood, interviewing her, and she is, for all the world, acting as if he's very attractive. I'm having a problem with that. I'm also having a problem with something I wanted you to help me with. Ms. Handler tweeted something on her Tweetland account.
Her Twitter account?
Is that what it's called? Called a Twitter account. Okay. She tweeted, or how do they say that?
Tweeted on the Twitter account.
She tweeted on a Twitter account. She tweeted on the Twitter account. Okay. All right. She tweeted on her Twitter account something about a Ms. Witherspoon, and she said that Ms. Witherspoon apparently considers herself some kind of an actress. It was a very sharp reprimand. Do you know who this Ms. Witherspoon is that she's talking about?
No, I don't. Ms. Witherspoon. Boy, I should. Robert?
I don't know. I can look it up.
Would you look that up for me?
Bud, look that up. Ms. Witherspoon.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry, Phil. I don't mean to take up your program.
No, that's all right. It won't take a second. Did you find Bud?
What?
Are you looking up Witherspoon?
Not right now.
Well, what do you think we're doing here, man?
Did he not look up Witherspoon? Phil? Did he not look up Witherspoon? Phil? Phil? Is there anybody there? There's no one on the program? Is there anyone on the Phil Henry program? Hello? My goodness, Hello? Well, I'm going to say that my name is David Castorini. I called the Phil Henry Show. Is the host of the show there? Is Phil Henry there? So there is no one there.
Well, if anyone knows who Ms. Witherspoon is, or if you can get me a picture of Chelsea Handler
with no underwear on, I'd really appreciate it.
Phil Hendry.